Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 135. Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, gentlemen? And what about you,
That's
Nate?
That's a sigh. Sigh of relief.
Mm-hmm. So I get a, and a,
It's a much-needed sigh.
But the look on Nate's face, that was kind of the funny. If the creepies could see that, it was like a, Yeah. It's like a mom when they're like, they hear a story from their kid trying to sell them on something. They're like, whatever.
No, we're doing good.
Yeah, we are good.
We're a little guy time tonight.
Yeah.
I heard something funny that one of the therapists I work with, his name is Mike, and he said, no, he does not listen, by the way.
But
one of these
I
days,
almost
one
said
of these days, I knew you were going to ask. One of these days, I will get him to listen.
I don't care about him.
He's right by my desk, so he's a great guy. He's with child right now, or at least his wife is.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
So he's.
Yeah. I get you. Yeah.
He could be them. But he said, you know how people say all the time, you know, how you doing? Living the dream. He said, you know, every time somebody says that, that means I'm absolutely, he might have used a couple expletives, freaking like miserable. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so now I could never say that again. All live the dream, baby.
We say the opposite at work.
Miserable.
Living the nightmare.
Yeah. Dying a slow nightmare.
Creating the dream.
Sometimes I go, living the dream or the nightmare. I haven't figured it out today.
It's fluid. That's pretty much how I would describe it.
I always want, every time you ask how we're doing, I always want to say a saying that we say at work with iron workers, hanging and banging.
Hanging and banging.
I've heard that. People out there be like, excuse me?
I've heard that saying, hanging and banging. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Here we are, though, talking to our creepies. It doesn't get better than that.
It does not. That's correct.
It's a good way to have a middle of the week. That's why I'm glad we do it on Wednesdays. Because then if we did like on a Monday, like consistently, it's like, oh, man, then you got the rest of the whole week. It seems like it's just longer, but I don't know. It's just a mental thing with me. Doing it middle of the week, I know when it's going to come. It's great.
And this one's special, dude, because I was supposed to be on night shift.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And my wife goes, hey, are you just doing the two cleanings then tonight? You're not recording? I go, no, we are. Well, says it on band. I go, I know, I didn't change it. I said, remember I told you, Nate, they said they canceled the night shift thing? She's struggling on the band. It was her idea, but she's got so much on her plate that she's missing some of the
scheduling.
We're on there.
Yeah.
But
is that what that is? Well, yeah, that's what we have for the podcast.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
But I don't put everything on the
You're right. Yeah.
But it's we have it for the whole, so the kids can see, hey, where dad's going to, you know, be a mom or what. We have appointments and all that. And she's overloaded too. So she's like, she hadn't seen it.
That's hilarious. I have so many.
We are recording.
So many different schedule things that I have to check that I totally don't. Yeah.
We have band and we have the calendar on our phones. And then Amy uses a actual, you know, handwritten calendar.
Yeah,
she's
got it too.
That's what on Rachel her computer uses. And she. Yeah, so it's kind of slipping through the cracks, but no, it's good. It's I know this is when does this drop, John? Like 2 weeks? Is this the 21st one?
Well, I know that
20th or whatever that 25th is our Halloween special.
Whatever day it is,
I think this is the
10/11. So next week, right? Is that next week?
No, I thought that. Anyway, it's going to be a week or two. Just say when we've already had our live show. So as I'm talking now, I'm excited for it.
We are excited for it, but
so right now, we're only 3 days away. So we'd be we'd be on right now about 8:30, 8:24.
At this point they'll be talking about how we bombed. Right now.
Throwing
this horrible.
That was terrible. Oh my god.
I told my wife, make sure you don't. I said this is what we need, you know, for concessions. I said don't buy any fruits or vegetables because we don't want people throwing them at us, you know.
That's fair.
She goes, well, then what are we going to do? I say,
boo.
Yeah. So Anyway, hey, we're good. Hope the creepies are good. Let's get to the awesome segment that is known as the dad joke of the show. The dad joke of the show. Nate and Sean, you know, we've talked about spirit boards or Ouija boards, right?
Yeah.
We all know about them. Did you know, though, that you can use a spirit board to clean windows and glass? Did you know that?
Spirit board.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that, Nate?
Mm-mm.
That's really, they're, you know, obviously to talk to spirits and maybe to the dead and loved ones and all that. You can actually use a spirit board to clean like a window or glass, whatever. They'd be called a squeegee board.
I wonder where in the world that was going.
It'd be
squeegee board.
Yeah. Or, as I like to pronounce, squeegee board.
Squeegee.
Oh. So, yeah, if you want to use a squeegee board.
You're giving the creepies time to respond.
I went to squeegee bob.
I'm really proud of that, by the way.
You should be. You should absolutely be.
So, try that, creepies. You can, after you're done talking to the dead, clean your windows with a squeegee board. So, there you go. That's the dad joke of the show. I am really.
That one by.
You're proud of that one.
Oh, yeah.
Back
I did.
Away.
I'm really proud, actually.
From the Jew.
So, Sean, coming off of that great joke, what do you have for us, sir?
I have the first part of the announcements, and as we always talk about, we are here for the guy time. Oh, my gosh, we're definitely here for the guy time.
We always need that. The creepies have no idea. We talk about it, but we really need
Hey.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we usually have a half hour, 45-minute conversation before we ever start.
We need an exorcist.
We're each other's counselors.
Yeah, so we guy time, paranormal, we are here for fun, but we are here most importantly to build a community for mental health. It really, truly is something that we are founded on, and we are going to continue until death do us part, right? I know that sounds really sounds final.
Macabre.
It's very macabre. So you can call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also text HOME to 741-741 for professional help. If you or someone you know is experiencing bullying, contact Stop Bullying for help. Reach out to our Facebook group, Instagram account, email, or message us for added support. That is what our Mako family is all about.
Yes, sir. And have you noticed in the last, what, 2 or 3 weeks, we're getting a lot more?
Well, that's good.
A lot more members joining. We're getting...
Yeah,
almost one a day.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
It's kind of like the one a day tablets you need to.
Yeah.
No,
keep
but
it coming.
Really, it's we're
see, on Facebook.
We're
I think they're legitimate people. Hmm. I wonder about Twitter or X or whatever it's called nowadays because it's like so and so's so and so. That's it. Twitter. So and so's following you, and you look at him, and it's like that's got to be a fake profile or it's some like beautiful woman that has zero like nothing.
What are you trying to say?
Nothing on there.
Beautiful.
You don't think beautiful women don't want to follow?
Maybe
I
even
think
beautiful
it's
men.
A trap.
No, wait a minute.
I think it's a trap. I don't follow back. Just so you know.
I was going to ask you actually. How is Twitter doing?
Oh, like, I don't know. Well, with all those beautiful women, that
do we
I
get
think
much activity?
Accounts,
my account has been frozen. By the way, my
are
Twitter
we getting
so
much action? We have 1,089
okay.
that we're following, and we have seven.
We have 17 that.
And I rarely do that anymore.
You're following 1,089 people.
Yeah, I should probably go through and check that. I promise it's well. When I those beautiful when those beautiful women come through, it's hard not
hear,
to follow back.
I can hear. I can hear back. The creepies going laughing.
I know what I should do, but what I'm going to do.
We have 701 followers, and much action. No,
you know, I should have asked you because now
there's not tons of.
You're following almost 400 more accounts than we are getting.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Who and. Are these all paranormal?
That's what I try to
remember
do.
Remember I told you a while back, I said, don't be
there are
any.
No, there's no politics on here, I promise. When I'm looking through here, it is. It's actually Donnie Baker.
Oh, I know.
Following Donnie Baker in here. So, yeah, it is actually.
No, that is state law.
I'm following you. That. Todd William is on here.
I told you, watch out who you're following.
I know, right?
Weirdos like that guy.
Yeah, it's just people we connect with.
Wait a minute.
What?
Lincoln Park. Only have 700?
That's what it says.
I thought you said a while back, I mean, maybe like a couple of months ago, I thought you said we had 1,000.
I may have read it backwards, but it says we're following 1,089, and then we have 701 followers. Did I tell you wrong? I might have.
You did.
I don't know.
Because I was like, oh, that's awesome. That was the first account over 1,000. Yeah, that's okay.
Color me wrong.
I don't actually...
I'm terrible.
Instagram
at Twitter.
And Facebook. That's our two.
I'm
main.
Terrible.
And heck, even TikTok, we have six. That's funny. We get a new follower every day, but we get one or two that drop every day. So it literally goes from 606 to 608 every day. If I look at the thing, I'm like, yep. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So I pretty much just chalk it up to it's going to be the same number for the rest of this podcast. 606, 607, 608, 606. Well, yes, we want our creepies healthy, don't we?
That's right.
And you know, how healthy can they be? Or I was going to say that incorrectly. How much healthier could they be if they don't listen to us, right? Did that even make sense? I don't know if I even asked that.
Let's just say it this way. Dimensional level.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense.
I'm like, wait a minute. That's how my brain is. Let's just say it this way. You'll be healthier.
It's moosh.
And it'll be more beneficial if you follow Mako. And listen to our podcast. Mike, I'm talking to you that sits next to Sean.
Exactly.
Oh, I remember names. No.
Color them out.
Well, thank you, Sean, for that.
You're most welcome.
Special announcements and shout-outs. So shout-outs. Nate, who do you have? Anybody to shout-out?
No.
Okay.
You don't want a shout-out.
Honest to goodness, you want me down when you do have somebody. okay, we'll skip by Nate. No shout-outs. Okay.
There's a lot of people I want to shout at.
Nate's going to have his own special segment called the shout-at.
Who did I yell at today?
That is great. I like that. Shout out. Sean. Anybody to shout out?
You know, I have shouted out before to him, but I'm going to shout out tonight. I saw him again. Dr. Brian Jackson, chiropractor friend.
He's getting a lot of pub.
He's a creepy.
I'm just kidding.
And he should.
You know we love Dr.
We're going to see him the live show, of course, after like that'll already be done by the time this drops. He is a sponsor, which we appreciate greatly. I gave him a hug tonight. I did.
Dr. Jackson, my apologies.
He put his hand out, and I was like, come here.
As he did it, he's like, you know,
kind
of gave you a quick adjustment.
Exactly right.
Like, get out of here, kid.
Sean. It'll be okay. I really appreciate
Sean's
him.
Hugging people at
the Walmart only, right? As I'm stealing their cart. Yeah. Like, I'll get them stealing their cart behind their back. It's a true story.
Here you go.
I told the story once. So
how's
tell it
Dr.
Again.
Jackson?
He's great. He's doing. He's looking forward to our live show.
Yeah, he's going
to
bring his kids.
And he's going to bring his children. And
again, I'm really disappointed that Mrs. Dr. Jackson won't be there that's all right. Whatever.
Forgive.
Slacker. You know I'm kidding, Dr. Jackson. So that's your shout out?
That's my shout out.
Okay.
Otherwise, I want to shout out at people too, so just like Nate.
I don't really have any shout outs myself. Yeah, no shout out.
Okay.
So
wow.
Let's move on. I know.
So Dr. Jackson.
I'm copying Nate.
Wow.
Yeah, Dr. Jackson's the only shout out. But I do have an announcement. And this is getting exciting because we're getting closer. It's our Mako on location. It is scheduled for Saturday, October 21st. It is at the year-round fall and Halloween store called Greenwood Happy Haunts. The owners are Scott and Corey Steenburgen. We will be there by the opening time of 11 a.m. to closing or close to it, which is 5 p.m. We're going to do our on location. They have so many awesome items, Halloween and horror-related. You need to come out. See us, get some merch baggies, and meet Scott and Corey, and check out their store and bring your wallet because you can't get out of there without buying something.
That's
They've
right.
got all kinds of stuff. And
you hear that, Nate?
And I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to Nate. Don't listen to him. He's just going to badmouth him.
No, it's a fine store. I like the store.
I can't wait to see what happens at the live show.
You just
don't
care for the owners.
Don't care for the owners.
They are pretty.
I think they're going to embrace each other. All three of them are going to embrace at the live show.
Good grief! I'll be like,
bury the hatchet.
Yeah, yeah.
Bury the hatchet somewhere.
I asked you guys. So Corey reached out and said, "Hey, what kind of drinks do you like?" And I said, "Well, I like Coke, Cherry Coke, tea, and Sean, what did you say?
Gatorade.
You said Gatorade.
Yeah,
and then still waiting on Nate. So
I've been busy.
I know. Excuse me.
Well, we know."
And so I told Corey, and I said, well, we'll hear from Nate, or I'll see him, when we record. And she goes, well, you tell Nate he gets nothing and he'll like it. And I was like, I told him that. And he, yeah. So
don't worry,
so
I'll bring my own drink.
Yeah, so I sent her a message that said, don't worry, he's going to bring his own. So I have not checked the response.
It is.
Yeah. So anyway, come out and see us. We're going to be recording some episodes, and it is an awesome store. It's fun.
In good fun.
Yep. So I don't want to say, but even my son has been there, Nate.
Good for him.
Good for him.
You're getting
good for us.
Good night.
No. You don't mean that.
No, I don't.
Do you know who else is going to be at the live show?
I mean, I can tell you. I haven't
made several others.
Are you? Oh, I thought you meant like.
Pete Peterson. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I told you.
I know you did.
Because he bought tickets.
I know, but I'm saying it out loud now.
Yeah.
I know. I'm excited.
Yeah, I got to send him a message, though.
See Betsy and Micah and Aaron. And
who?
Oh, who?
Oh, exactly. Micah and Aaron. That's right. They're part of the show.
That's right.
Yeah, Betsy asked on Facebook about hotels, and then Micah asked.
Did we ever answer her? I didn't even notice it.
I did.
Oh, good.
Messenger. And Micah texts me the other day and goes, "Hey, what? Remind me again. What time? Showtime?" I go,
"Micah, he's not coming in."
I said,
"We're gonna have to fill his spot."
Six, like Jerry's gonna introduce you around 6:20, and I said, "You know, pre's 5 to."
So be there at 5:50.
And I go, "I said, you can reach out and ask questions." I said, "But you've got to." I said, "I did send you guys a message on our message group or whatever group messenger." I said it has the rundown, And then I felt bad. I was like, I didn't mean to say it like that. Like, he can't ask questions. And then he goes, "Oh, no." He goes, "You already did." He goes, "I hate you now." And, and something like that. Yeah.
Taking his marbles and going home.
Yeah. So, no, it's going to be great to finally meet these people. Yeah. Yeah. Pete Peters. Yeah. I got to get a message him and say, "No Yankees apparel." I will have security.
Right.
We're not doing this Yankee stuff. Okay. So, anyway, come out and see us at our Mako on location. I think that's it, Sean.
Yes.
What I'm going to talk about.
This is going to be your pick, so Todd's pick.
Darn
get
right.
that out there. This is the Ghost Club of London.
Ooh.
London.
I was kind of excited about this one.
London Town. You're scared about that? You're scared about this one?
Well, not scared.
Excited?
Excited. Excited. I just crossed out the wrong as I'm going on.
No!
Okay. Now I got everything crossed up here. So, yes, Ghost Club of London.
That's right.
So you want to give a little foundation?
I do.
Please.
The Ghost Club is a paranormal investigation and research organization founded in London in yesteryear of 1862. Mm-hmm. It is believed to be the oldest such organization in the world, though its history has not been continuous. The club still investigates mainly ghosts and hauntings.
Hmm. Yes, sir.
The Ghost Club. It started when we little lads.
1862. I wasn't even born.
I was going to say, we little lads. Yeah, right.
I was negative 109.
We're very, very little.
Very, very tiny. In the Civil War.
Let's see. Yeah. My dad was even young. He was born 34. So, or, geez. I was thinking 1934. Never mind. Even my dad wasn't born. Oh, my gosh. What is wrong with us?
I don't know. This should be interesting.
All right. Creepies just. Listen to our podcast, but bear with us, please. Yeah,
no judgment.
So I had heard this on a. It's been a while, that's why I'm excited about this to finally talk about the Ghost Club of London because I had never heard about it, and there was an author that wrote about these guys. I don't ask me who it was, and it sounded very intriguing. They've got a lot of past members that people will know who they're named. You know, who we're talking about. One Charles Dickens.
Ooh, Mr. Dick, Chuck Dickens,
Chucky, well, Chucky D. Dickens,
Chucky D.
How's it? Yeah, Chuck D. yes, and oh my gosh, Houdini. Mm-hmm. You have a list of the
I have like
some of the most famous past members.
There is a current list, I think. I don't know.
It's still going.
Yeah,
which we'll get into.
Like, I don't know how much. I don't know any of these current people are like Alan Murdy.
Nobody's
the chair. Yeah, no.
I'm
yeah,
so
well, no, I don't. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Yeah, that's the one I is usually know. Yeah,
I don't have that list. Okay,
there's
yeah,
a bunch of
I
them.
I haven't.
Okay, what's some of the famous past members?
I may not know some of these.
Yeats.
Let's see, Sir William Crookes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whatever he has done.
Mm-hmm. He's a crook. No, I'm kidding. just joking. No,
sounds like a crook.
Just joking.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of names. A lot of them I do not know offhand. Mm-hmm. Dennis Wheatley, Peter Cushing,
mm-hmm, the actor,
Peter Underwood. Yeah. Like I said, I don't really know a whole lot of them.
So, yeah, there's Conan O'Doyle, or Conan Doyle, Dickens, and then there was Siegfried Sassoon.
Mm-hmm. Siegfried and Roy?
No.
The Vidal Sassoon.
I think that might be the Sassoon. I honestly think it is. I'm not 100% sure on that. But Peter Cushing, who, what was his name? He was in the original Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And then he played he played in with Val Kilmer, Top Secret. And he's the one, the librarian. And he's got his eye up against the, or, you know, the
oh, he was Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Tarkin. And he's got the magnifying glass up against his eye, and then when he mm-hmm. when he pulls away, his eye is still that
it's still that big.
I'm like, that's one of his like last. Yeah, but he's a, you know, obviously a legendary actor,
right?
Yeah. So there's you know, there's four or five people we would know. I get, and I wonder if we actually looked into these guys, we probably like, oh, okay, you know, maybe what they did, we would know. Maurice Gross, investigator of the Enfield Poltergeist. That was the other guy that we, when we did the episode about, he was the author and investigator. Mm-hmm. So Maurice, Mr. Gross, yeah. Very cool, though. I think this is a neat thing where they got together, these guys, and just think of all the different stories and,
yeah,
you know, yeah, it's a pretty big deal.
Well, it started back in 1862. The club had its roots in Cambridge in 1855, where fellows at Trinity College began to discuss ghosts and psychic phenomena. Launched officially in London in 1862, it counted Charles Dickens among its members. One of the club's earliest investigations was of the Davenport brothers and their spirit cabinet hoax, the club challenging the Davenport's claim of contacting the dead. The group continued to undertake practical investigations in spiritualist phenomenon, a topic then in vogue, meeting to discuss ghostly subjects. The Ghost Club dissolved in the 1870s following the death of Charles Dickens.
Chuggity.
I think it's interesting because there was such a, there was at that time, there was, you know, all the mediums and all the talk.
Spiritualism got really popular.
Huge, right? And then, and it was meeting with the, you know, there was the rise of science and trying scientific discoveries and all those. So it was trying to find our footing with trying to understand the unknown world out there.
Yeah.
So this is interesting that all these minds got together to try to figure out like what are the big questions, you know, where do we come from? Where do we go? You know? So I think it's really interesting.
Well, we talked about like Houdini. He's mentioned in this, so I don't know if I thought he was a member, but you know, he went around trying to debunk these charlatans, you know, and these frauds, as he'd call it. But anyway, that's what they, a lot of them also did. They did investigations and they bounced theories and stories back and forth. But another big thing was to kind of call out the ones that were just taking advantage of people or just trying to make money off of, where they're total fakes.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine being a fly on the wall with some of these discussions?
Seriously.
You know, smoking cigars, having their, you know,
I mean, I think it's so cool. I think it's so neat.
And it says that
thinking big thoughts.
The club continues.
Kind of like us.
And they meet monthly at a pub in central London.
Mm-hmm. How do you get invited?
We'll get to that. I signed us up, by the way. I put an application for us. Yeah, I'm still waiting to hear.
Did you show him your tattoo? Because that should get us in.
Well, I'm getting a tattoo that says Ghost Club.
Ghost Club. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Or we could start our own, the Ghost Club of
Plainfield. I said, we're kind of big deals. And they're like, yeah, sure. They're like, who
Ghost
are you again?
Club
I said, middle Asian creeped out.
How does that hit
no?
you?
No, huh?
How does that hit you? The Ghost Club of Plainfield.
Ghost Club.
We could start our own on this side of the pond.
Mm-hmm. The GCOP.
Great. That's right.
Never mind.
Alphabet soup.
Yeah, right. So speaking of Chuckie D, Charles Dickens, says Dickens embodies some of the contradictory attitudes of his era and most likely of the original Ghost Club as well. It is difficult from a modern perspective to reconcile Dickens, the exposer of fraud, with Dickens, the dabbler in mesmerism, which generally involved putting patients into trances as to influence the magnetic forces that ailed them. Dickens always refused to be entranced in this way, but he wasn't above trying it out on others. It's interesting. I was like,
wait,
kind
of him.
Yeah, he boasted in letters of his magnetic powers and attempted to use them to cure a friend named Augusta de la Rue of her specters.
Now, wasn't he a Willy Wonka?
Who? Which one are you talking about? Oh, Augustus.
Augustus. You're falling.
We used to, oh my gosh.
It's so good, this chocolate river. Was it like sewage or something?
It is pretty much. Yeah, so Chuckie D's a little, he's a little, I don't know, kind of going the route that he's kind of opposed to, but then
it's interesting. It's just like Sir Isaac Newton, you know. There are these people that we think certain thoughts about them, and a lot of it's not true.
Yeah.
This is a little bit of a side thing, but I learned, let's see if you guys know this. So number one, I learned something interesting about Claire. Claire's our 14-year-old daughter, right? She was talking more to me, which is amazing. And we were talking in the car, and that's said something about history. And I said, no, I know you don't like history, but I love history, as you know. And she goes, Dad, that's my favorite subject. And I'm like, it is?
Oh, wow.
So, of course, I'm super excited. And I said, well, tell me something that you like in history. And she goes, well, do you know what color George Washington's hair was? And I go, I don't know. I've just used to see
red.
It. No, white. See, you know. I didn't know
no,
that.
No, I guessed.
Was it red? But I'm sorry. Was that a guess? My brain.
Well, up. It was kind of it because I thought, you know what? I bet it's red. I don't know. It just sounded.
He's a ginger. Yes. Mm. And I said, are you kidding me? And she goes, no, seriously. And I was like, we think about him with the powdered wigs and all that stuff. But I was so excited. So then I asked William at the game because Claire was
and
playing.
He said,
it was her softball game. And I said, yeah, right. And I said, you know what color George Washington's hair is? And he goes, red. And then that's he pulls funny. Up a picture.
That's great.
And bright blue eyes, by the way. Didn't know that either.
No,
that and I asked Jenna. I didn't feel too bad because I asked Jenna. She had no idea. She's like, I don't know. I'd say brown. And I was like, that's probably what I'd say is like, I don't know, probably brown under there. Yeah. It's red with blue, with real bright blue eyes.
Wow.
And that's how they portray it now. If you look him up, that's what he looks like now. That's not what he looked like when we were kids.
Mm-mm. No. Yeah, that's interesting.
Anyway.
Who knew?
No, but yes, that's a little bit of a tangent. But
no, I get it. That's fine. I think that's good.
Bottom line is out. I'm excited that my daughter likes history.
Well, that's something you guys can
and we learn. And
latch
I said,
on together.
In 44 years, I had no idea.
I wanted to, real quick, off of what I had just read about Dickens, it says, of course, Dickens was famous for his ghost stories, such as A Christmas Carol and The Signalman. I have never heard The Signalman.
I've not read it, but I've heard
of it. I figured
you.
Had you heard that, Nate? The Signalman?
No.
I've not read it.
If the Ghost Club was formed to investigate dodgy mediums, it was in part because Dickens had helped to create a fierce frothing, I like that word, demand for phantoms among his fellow Victorians. Said, but Dickens himself was always trying to find ordinary reasons for extraordinary happenings. Now, I like that line. Ordinary reasons for extraordinary happenings. And it says his mesmeric
he was a realist.
Treatments, as peculiar as they seem today, were intended to heal Madame de La Rue of the disease of the nerves, which he believed to be the cause of her apparitions. Hmm. And then his stories featured even more prosaic explanations in the sarcastic, well-authenticated wrappings. Dickens subjects a character to three spiritual experiences, obviously in the Christmas Carol. Anyway, so I think that's interesting. Yeah. So that was just one of the famous members.
In 1882, the club was revitalized. It says the club was revived on All Saints Day in 1882 by the medium Staten Moses. What a name, huh? And Alaric Alfred Watts. Initially claiming to be the original founders without acknowledging its origins. In 1882, the Society for Psychical Research, which is the SPR, we've talked about them before, with whom there was an initial overlap, was founded at a similar time. While the SPR was a body devoted to scientific study, the Ghost Club remained a selective and secretive organization of convinced believers for whom psychic phenomena were an established fact. Staten Moses resigned from the vice presidency of the SPR in 1886 and thereafter devoted himself to the Ghost Club. Membership was small, 82 members over 54 years. Wow. Women were not allowed, but that has changed, right? But during this period, it attracted some of the most original and controversial minds in psychical research. Those included Sir William Crookes, we're talking about, he's a crook, Sir Oliver Lodge, Nandor Fodor, that sounds made up, and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, so the 1882, they called it the second incarnation of the Ghost Club.
Is the SPR similar to SBD?
No.
No?
Silent but Deadly.
Silent but Deadly, is that what we're talking about?
You know, I think, Nate, that's another...
or STP.
I like your contribution.
Hey, I go deep.
Then we talk about
did you cut the cheese?
Cut the cheese, right? Yep. Yeah. So I'm glad you brought the 1882. So it says the, there we go. The minutes of the 1882 club suggest to those who can decipher their maddening cursive, I bet a different sort of organization. One with a set of rules and mannerisms that make it sound more like a gentleman's club for ardent spiritualists. This club met at fashionable restaurants such as Pagani's on Great Portland Street with its colorful ceramic facade. The meetings always began with a roll call, which included the names not just of incarnate members, but also those who had passed on.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool. Hmm.
Yeah, and in the fourth meeting on January 12th, 1883, those present decided on a motto and noted it down in capitals. Is that what you already read? You didn't say it. Mm-mm. Nasi, looks like obviously Latin. Nasi laborare, more nasi. And it means or for the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Be born, work, die, be born. How about that? Wow. It said the second incarnation of the Ghost Club was founded in the same year as an even more prominent organization, the Society for Physical Psychical. Jeez.
It's hard to read.
I looked at it. I was like,
I know. I say physical. I started to say
psychical research, but the SPR published both its proceedings in a journal while the Ghost Club kept its activities secret. I like that. I think it's kind of cool that they had a secret deal going.
You were talking about reading the names.
Should be, I think, to keep it, not everybody can join. And
reading those names, I had seen this on one of the videos I watched, too. The archives of the club reveal that the names of the members, both living and dead, were solemnly recited each November 2nd.
Mm.
Each individual, living or dead, was recognized as a member of the club. On more than one occasion, deceased members were believed to have made their presence felt.
Ah,
that's cool.
That is cool. Yeah, I like that. I'd love to go back in time and see these guys meeting. You know what I mean? Just that'd be awesome. That's why I was excited about this episode.
It's got so much good history.
Yeah.
Yeats is another one. So W.B. Yeats, a famous poet. Also involved were the poet W.B. Yeats. He joined in 1911. And Frederick Bly Bond joined in 1925, who became infamous with the investigations into spiritualism at Glastonbury. Bly Bond later left the country and became active in the American Society for Psychical Research. He was ordained in the Old Catholic Church and rejoined the Ghost Club on his return to Britain in 1935. The principal of Jesus College, Cambridge, Arthur Gray, fictionalized the Ghost Club in 1919 as the Everlasting Club in a ghost story that many still believe to be true.
Ooh.
They have a list of notable places that they've investigated.
Yeah.
So I looked one up. Borley Church.
Oh, yeah. Borley, yeah.
Claims of haunting. It is haunted, or it's claimed to be haunted, although much less activity than the former Borley Recovery. Mm-hmm. Alleged paranormal activity includes phantom organ music, ghostly chanting, and the ghost of a nun moving about the churchyard.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to give you a little warning. Not warning, but I've got Borley on my list of topics.
Ooh, sweet.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the Borley Manor. Borley something. So, yeah.
Heck, yeah.
Yeah, that I know.
Sounds fun.
We need to take them to the Waverly, to our... I think that's neat that this group got together. You're talking about Yeats. Said that it seems self-evident that W.B. Yeats would become involved with this rambunctious group. He was first invited as a guest, and he demonstrated the depth of his arcane knowledge by giving a speech on fairy beliefs, which he believed were simply spiritism happening, spiritism happening, not round tables, but in the fields. Does that make any sense? Let me read that one more time. Which he believed were, and in quotes, simply spiritism happening, not round tables, but in the fields. I'm not sure what that means.
Sure.
But yeah, said a month later, July of 1911, he was duly elected as a member. His contributions to the Ghost Club are connected in some intriguing ways to his poetry. And then in the years of his membership and with the help of his wife, Georgiana, he redoubled his experiments in automatic writing. That might be something we can talk about sometime, is automatic writing. Maybe get somebody that's out there that kind of knows more about it, but maybe can share some stories or whatever. But I find that fascinating because that's, somebody that's just kind of writing down what they are getting from the spirits and they have no idea. It's kind of like the Estes method.
Yes, right.
One person's hearing it, then they're relaying, the other one doesn't know what is saying. Anyway, I think that's kind of, because it's kind of like, man, it could be real.
Right.
You know, because how would they know what to write? If, you know what I mean? And they're writing fast. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I thought that was, like all these guys, man, they have all kinds of stuff they were into, you know, or investigating or maybe experts or whatever. So,
they're like onions. They got many layers, right?
Many layers. Mm-hmm. Many layers. That's
Shrek. It says, we're talking about like the there's a part where the female joining or, you know, opening up to females came in too. But so the with the.
Did it say what year?
Well, that's why I was going to. Let me read this part here. Early 20th century. The 20th century's move from seance room investigation to laboratory based research meant the Ghost Club fell out of touch with contemporary psychic research. Harry Price, famous for his investigation into Borley Rectory, joined as a member in 1927, as did psychologist Nandor Fodor, which is the one that sounds made up, who represented the changing approach to psychical research taking place. With attendance falling, the club closed in 1936 after 485 meetings. The Ghost Club records were deposited in the British Museum under the proviso that they would remain closed until 1962 out of respect for confidentiality. Within 18 months, Price relaunched the Ghost Club as a society dinner event with psychic researchers and mediums delivered after dinner talks. Price decided to admit women to the club, also specifying that it was not a spiritualist church or association, but a group of skeptics that gathered to discuss paranormal topics. Members of this period included C.E.M. Jode, Sir Julian Huxley, Algernon Blackwood, that's an awesome name,
yeah.
Sir Osbert Sitwell, because it didn't sit well, and Lord M. Well. A whole lot of well going on.
There's a lot of well, yeah. Well.
Well. Well,
well. Well, well, well. Yeah. Well, listen to us, aren't we?
This says, following Price's death in 1948, the club was again relaunched by members of the committee, Philip Paul and Peter Underwood. From 1962, which is when it was supposed to be, those records are supposed to be kept till, right? From 1962, Underwood served as president. Many accounts of the club activities are found in his books. Tom Pierrot joined the club in 1967, served as its chairman from 71 to 93. Getting closer and closer to now, right?
Yeah.
1993, the club underwent a period of interval disruption. That sounds rough. During which Underwood left to become life president of another society he had revived called the Ghost Club Society. Lots of ghost clubs going on, huh?
Yeah. We need to start a ghost club.
Right?
By the way, before I forget, Siegfried Sassoon, I don't think is
Vidal. Has nothing to do
with Vidal. Because I mean, I thought maybe Vidal was like a grandson or something. Like, yeah, I didn't see anything. I did a little investigative work.
It's all hearsay.
Could be, I guess, but hear that name. I mean, that last name is not.
You do not.
There could
I'm
be
saying
something.
There's a 50-50 shot.
Let's just go with that.
Yeah.
It may or may not.
Statistically, I don't have any idea. Just go 50-50.
I threw that out there just kind of. I was like, I better look.
I meant it as a joke, and then when you said I'm like, you could be.
Well, no, and I wasn't saying like it was true. I was just like, I kind of made it sound that way.
The things that you hear on this podcast can either be confirmed or denied, right. Except through hearsay.
Mm-hmm. I've been going through the list of places that they've investigated in the past and stuff. I love it. Just the old, like,
there's
castles.
Old feel to it, right?
And homes. They're gorgeous.
I know.
I would love to just be in any of them.
I know.
Not even necessarily to get the ghost hunt or anything like that. Just to actually see the building.
It. Yeah. Take a tour, walk in. I know. As your boy.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, Nate. I would love, take away the paranormal investigating part of it, or the, just checking out those awesome buildings.
We talked about Peter Cushing, didn't we? Did we ever talk about Peter Cushing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a Tarkin, yeah.
And, yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
And the guy with the big eye.
Right.
That's right. And one of my favorite movies.
I was just clicking on all these pictures,
Top
and I'm
secret.
Like,
that's a great movie.
Oh.
Yeah. Gosh. I am telling you what, I cannot keep track of where I'm at because I've got all these different. Nate, Sean, if you want to have anything you want to say about it.
The notable investigations, Borley Church, Chingle Hall. Now, that sounds made up, too. Mm. The Queen's House. Not Buckingham's Buckingham Palace, RAF Cosford Aerospace Museum, Glamis Castle, Winchester Theater, the Ancient Ram Inn in Walton-under-Edge. That sounds made up. which all the English are like, no, that's not made up. That's our history. Winchester Mansion. Bologna Castle. Am I saying that right? Baljoni? Maybe it's Baljoni.
Did you say Bologna?
It looks like Bologna.
It looks like Bologna.
B-A-L-G-O-N-I-E.
B-O-L-O-G-N-A.
It's not Bologna. Bologna. Bologna Castle. Ham House. No, I'm not mispronouncing that one. New Landmark. Coal House Fort. Glasgow Royal Concert Hall. Aloha Tower. Scotland Street School Museum, the Mitchelham Priory, Curross Palace, and the Clerkenwell House of Detention.
Oh,
these all sound very serious.
They sound intense,
Especially the Ham House.
You got the Chicken House and the Ham House. Yeah.
The prison was built between 1617 and 1877.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's old.
That is old. It is old. Even, again, older than us, right?
A little bit. It was rebuilt 3 times.
Oh, it was?
Mm-hmm.
Does it give any, year, when did it?
I think the initial operation, I guess it was built in 1617 and 1877. Not really sure. I'm not following that part too well. Just saying. The new prison was a prison located in the Clerkenwell area of central London between 1617 and 1877. It was rebuilt 3 times in 1773, 1818, after being burnt down in a riot.
Oh.
And in 1847.
Okay.
That's when it got its now name of Clerkenwell House of Detention.
Gotcha. Yeah, the word detention, pretty intimidating.
And also, it was a site of a notorious bomb outrage in 1867.
A bomb outrage, you say?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It exploded.
What?
It went boom.
I heard the place
exploded.
Was the bomb.
Exploded.
It was the bomb.
Went boom.
Do they say that? Kids don't say that anymore, do they? That's the bomb. That's cool, though. That's interesting. So, as of, this is article is as of, let's see what, 2022. It doesn't say a date, but it's it says last edited 12 months ago by Deborah Nash. The current chairman of the Ghost Club is Mr. Alan Murdy, M-U-R-D-I-E. Says James Taki is an airplane pilot. He is the club's science and technical officer and oversees the proper use of equipment during site investigations. He says there are lots of ghost hunting groups who go around with their detectors, and when they get a spike on their gadget, they say, oh, there's a ghost, says Taki. But often they aren't using their equipment or recording the results correctly. Methodology is important in the field. You can't control the environment, but you can control your method. I like that. On the website, the club states it will not perform clearances or exorcisms, and it prohibits the use of Ouija boards. Now, I wonder would they use a squeegee board?
Yeah, squeegee, maybe.
Anyway, I don't think you should treat contacting the dead as a game, says the chairman, Alan Murdy. Most messages come from the unconscious mind, but the power of suggestion can really affect some people. I think that's, I would agree. You can really mess some people up, yeah. And he also says, we are not aiming to be a scientific body in the same way as the Society for Psychical Research or an organization trying to prove one thing or the other, Murdy begins. But I like to think we celebrate our unique British cultural tradition of ghosts. So there you go. Yeah.
I do like, do you know who Aldous Huxley is? The Doors of Perception. It looks like his brother, Julian Huxley, was the Huxley family are pretty well known, but I was looking
to see. It sounds familiar, but I'm not sure.
Aldous was into mysticism, and but he their the band, the Doors, were named after that book, Doors of Perception.
Oh, really?
Because it talks about how there's just that fine line between reality and our how we perceive things, and that mysticism, and just how thin the veil is between worlds, kind of feeling. And that's the Doors took that quite, you know, they loved that. They loved that book. And so that's what they named their band after, was The Doors from The Doors of Perception. I don't know. Somebody told me that once with music history, and I was like, that's really cool. But very good. There's a lot of quotes from that book, by the way. But I think that's interesting that the Huxley family, which are, like I said, pretty well known, that both of them were related into looking into mysticism and things that are of a supernatural nature. So I like
that. Yeah, that's cool. I didn't know that's how the Doors got their name.
Yeah, I'm looking at this Bologna or Bologna castle.
Yeah.
This one is very old. It says built 1360s with later additions. So it goes through different years of adding to it. But as far as ghost lore and stories, one of the stories includes a green lady.
Uh-oh. Lady in green.
Mm-hmm. Several hauntings have been reported within the castle. One specter named Green Genie.
Greeny Genie
is said to be the ghost of one of the Lundy occupants. A 17th century soldier, a dog, and a hooded man have also been claimed to be seen. A skeleton was found in the floor of the Great Hall during the works in 1912.
Oh, gosh.
That might be Greeny Genie.
Mean Green Gene. Mean Gene Green. Or Mean Joe Green. No. That's cool. Well, and that was the one that you thought, or looks like baloney.
Yeah, it looks like baloney. Balgoni.
Balgoni.
I like what baloney. I'd say. Yeah. I like baloney.
By God. That's cool.
So yeah, they've been to some really cool places.
Yeah, See, that's what we need to do. We need to start a club. I mean, we got a podcast, but we can start a club and just we'll call it the
Mako.
The GCP Club Mako. I like that. The Ghost Club of Mako, or Club Mako. Well, Club Mako is gonna be like Club Med. We'll just have like on an island. We'll just that's like a little vacation. That'll be.
I'm not just a member. I'm a client.
That's a good.
That's funny.
That's right. Taki, the guy I was talking about, he's the
hot Takis.
That's right. He's the
hot Taki.
Yeah, he's the equipment guy for the Ghost Club, the current Ghost Club. Technical officer and oversees the proper use of equipment. He was asked, "What is a ghost?" He says, "It is a difficult question." He says, if I were to ask my daughter, she'd paint a picture of a white sheet, but for me, it's more an experience people have had that they can't explain. Is it a spirit of the dead? Is it a religious manifestation? A hallucination? What was it that they saw? He says, unexplained sounds, floating lights, object movement, sudden changes in temperature are legion in a crowded city like London, but if ghosts exist, is it only where we exist? Are they evidence of some human residue or disturbed energy that got left behind? Can the paranormal be found in the depths of the ocean or in outer space? Do animals have a stake in the limited or the liminal zone? And he is quoted saying, I have yet to meet a vet who would deny they have a problem with cats keeping an appointment, laughs Alan, on the subject of feline psychic ability. Somehow they know and they're off. He says, then it says, but the devil is in the detail, and it is those specific inexplicable stories, sometimes with a tragedy at its heart, that makes you pause and wonder. And then from there, they talk about, current chairman, Alan Murdy, they talk about different experiences with apparitions and poltergeists.
The Ghost Club always welcomes speakers for its lectures.
We're there. We're so there.
Ooh. Well, hold on. they probably want
Oh, legit. People that know what they're talking about.
Well, I mean, we speak on a weekly basis. We talk, but forget I don't know if we, you know.
I retract that statement then.
That's right. You know what? I don't want to. You know what? I'm kind of underselling us, aren't I?
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just dabbling in reality. No. That would be cool. So they have speakers, mm-hmm. huh?
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
You have a speaker over there.
I do have a speaker.
Yeah.
I got the live show, speakers.
Right? Yeah. I was just saying, yeah, you got, here you go. Here's a loudspeaker.
They say our investigations are not for entertainment purposes or for thrill seekers. Uh-huh. Naturally, attendees of investigations are expected to abide by any rules of the night, showing due respect to the site and fellow members.
Yeah, did you guys by chance, I was thinking about that, like maybe to have a code of conduct or rules and regulations that they really have to abide. Because, I mean, this is a serious...
It's like a secret society type thing,
right? This isn't for entertainment or just to be silly. It's actually a serious organization.
The use of Ouija boards is strictly prohibited.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unless you're using it as a squeegee board.
Yeah.
I just like getting that joke. I love that joke.
The Ghost Club does not charge its members to participate in investigations.
I wonder how we can get... you can join MUFON, and you can join all these different organizations. I wonder how we can join.
How do you get invited? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Like,
well... Because I can do a British... My daughter does a great British accent.
There's a black rose on your pillow.
You've been selected?
Is that why? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, you know. man, this is... Yeah. I mean, it'd be cool to... Obviously, we can't go back to the 1800s, but it'd be cool to be a part of their group, you know.
And they all had...
Club.
I think what's interesting is they all had their motives. You know, some mm-hmm, of them were mm-hmm. scientific. Some of them were writers. Some of them were, you know, skeptical. Some of them were, you know, trying to prove. You know, so I think it's interesting that they all
came
together.
And very specific of what, you know.
Exactly. And that they were... respecting each other, you mm-hmm. know, they actually like didn't sit there. I'm sure they debated and they probably, you know, had their, you know, very strong opinions, but they came together, you know, to talk about it from an intellectual standpoint.
Oh man, I would have loved to heard those.
Oh yeah, that's what I said. I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
You know, yeah, and you could see them just like sitting in a big high back chair, you know, like some comfortable leather.
Mm-hmm.
Smells like mahogany, you know, but in the room. But gosh, just the ideas, because there's some smart dudes in that room, in that club back then, and nowadays. The apparitions and poltergeist says, as a barista, Alan Murdy's interest lies in the witness of the consistency of testimony of sightings over time and the striking similarity between cases many miles or years apart. Although the Ghost Club deploys equipment for investigations, Murdy maintains that paranormal activity cannot be photographed and believes the best detecting device is the human mind. He has also witnessed an apparition, and he says, it occurred when I wasn't looking for ghosts, he explains, and it was one I really did not, I'm sorry, and I really didn't want to see because it was of someone I had a relationship with for 13 years, and she appeared to me the day she died. But I only found that out 2 weeks afterwards. And that's Murdy. So, they show there's a picture. It says a faked ghost photo from Hampton Court Palace from the early 1900s. Check this out. It's a hoax.
It's a fake.
Yeah. So it's early 1900s. So they don't be trying to do that on our ghost club. Don't be. Yeah.
I like it. It says the group went through many different iterations, which is what we've been talking about, from the scientific minded approach of its initial version to more uncritical seance driven organizations later on. Through its history, it counted Charles Dickens, Arthur Conan Doyle, Julian Huxley, W.B. Yeats, and Peter Cushing among its members. For all the authors and artists, the club also had membership from prominent scientists and scholars. After all, the public was fascinated with spirits and ghost stories. Still are, right?
So the scientific minds of the time wanted to study the phenomenon. The true nature was unknown, which made it the perfect frontier for science. Of course, there's some evidence today that the uptick in ghostly sightings of the Victorian period may have had to do with the carbon monoxide from newly installed gas lamps. I appreciate that. Isn't that interesting?
Okay.
Over the past century and a half, the Ghost Club has been involved in studying many claimed haunted sites. Proof of the supernatural phenomenon remains elusive, but the search continues to go on.
So the carbon monoxide of lamps.
Yes. Actually, that's an interesting one, too, actually. I'll have to find. There was something that was sent to me recently about that.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
I'll put that on hold for a second because I'll have to actually. Okay. Oh, here it is. I got it right here.
All right.
I have a picture of it. Okay, so Mark Liston, by the way, he is a creepy. He's a listener. He gives us information. Okay. He sends me stuff like this. So he sent me a picture of what appears to be a haunted house. It says, many haunted houses have been investigated and found to contain high levels of carbon monoxide or other poisons, which can cause hallucinations. The carbon monoxide theory explains why haunted houses are mostly older houses, which are more likely to contain angina and defective, or see, does I say contain angina and defective? I think I'm reading that correctly.
I was like, what did you say?
Maybe miss it of the G.
Hey, keep it clean here. I mean, well, it is the technical
it says
term of
an angina and defective appliances. If I say that right?
Yeah. Angina, yep.
I think of that, it says angina. And angina is like chest pain and defective appliances.
So which, it's angina?
I don't know if that's a miss. Like, I may be like totally.
I can't read it. I mean, I can't even see it.
A-G-I-N-A.
Okay.
Am I saying that right?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Agena. No, I'm kidding.
Agena.
New Guinea.
So I get that makes sense because, yeah, obviously over the house that has that type of stuff. But obviously, too, just the older the house, you have more people that, gone in and out and died and lived there. So I think there's a lot of things that kind of go into why a location, whether it's a house, a castle, a prison, you know, it's just because the longer, you know, you don't, not that there aren't new houses because it can be built on some crazy land of something, but I'm just saying that, yeah. But I never thought about that though, as far as like a, you know, old appliances or
angina must be
something that
angina must be something that's used in old, some old stuff. But I don't even see it in.
I never.
It all
that.
Goes to
that's
angina, which is chest pain. That's what I was like.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Angina.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Angina. I don't know.
Okay.
Chest pain.
That's what I think.
That's cool though. Yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah, I'm just thinking. Like, so I think all of it. You just kind of. Everything kind of goes together. With the older the place, then you just got more stuff that can contribute to a, you know, why it possibly is haunted or whatever. A current member of the Ghost Club, Michael Hunter, he recalls as a young man walking with his girlfriend along a country road towards a village outside Oxford when they both saw a pillar of mist appear in front of them. It moved at a 45-degree angle above the road, then vanished into the bricked-up window in the stone wall of a house. After attending a talk about an apparition in Kennington, Kennington Common was an execution site during the 17th and 18th centuries, Michael found sufficient similarities with what he had seen, with what he had seen to be convinced it was not merely a trick of light.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of interesting that maybe that one incident spurred his interest, you know, as a younger kid,
mm-hmm.
and then here he is. Now he's a member of the Ghost Club. So,
I just, you know, how prestigious would it be to say I'm a member of the Ghost Club?
I know it. I mean, and it's been
it's almost
I'm
cool
already
as
a member. What are you talking about?
It's almost as cool saying I'm a member of the Scooby-Doo gang.
It's almost, if you're a member of the Ghost Club of London, it's almost as awesome as being a member of our
Mako. Absolutely.
Family. You know, I mean, they're both, yeah, neck and neck. You hear the creepies laughing.
Okay, so, right there, sure.
Yeah. So, I think that's neat that, like, something like that, maybe he had interest, maybe he didn't, but that one incident, maybe like, I'm going to check this kind of, what just happened? And then he looks into it further, and then, yeah, and he ends up joining the club.
Well, I mean, we sort of have done the same thing. you know, all three of us have an interest in this paranormal stuff, and then we started going and looking at places.
Oh, no, yeah, I agree.
We have our own little three-person club.
That's right. and we're big deals. We're famous. No, yeah, I get that. I'm just saying, like, maybe he had no interest in anything like that or never thought about until just one day he's walking with his girlfriend. He's like, what the heck is it? You know, and then what is this type of phenomena? Yeah, you know, we're... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got to figure it out.
Right. Because I know there's a lot of people, I'm not even into that, or they don't think about it, but then something happens, and then they're like, whoa, what's going on here?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it could be a lot of people say, like, deaths of family members or friends that, what is on the other side? Or how, you know, or they think, well, heck, is that my dad, grandma, whatever? Yeah, I mean, so then that gets them interested in the paranormal, where they had no interest in looking into any of that stuff until just one thing happens. And
I think this is interesting. It says it was intended as a club ruled by a gentleman's code of honor. So,
of course,
about that.
We have a code
with all matters discussed kept strictly confidential, while maintaining secrecy. It also obsessively minuted and documented its discussions. I guess minuted. It did. Yeah, keeping them in the minutes, right? And documented its discussions, leaving behind thousands of pages in records that have yet to properly be investigated, owing to conditions around their use. They said that they're still attempting to examine the importance of the club and how it might readjust our understandings of the networks of that era's London occult in the late Victorian and Edwardian eras. So it is. Okay. To us, there's a romanticism about it. You know what I mean? It's also like thinking about like Dracula. You know what I mean? And like being in that kind of it looks so cool. But it's
like. He was dapper, debonair, in the castle. He's got the cape and the suit.
These guys, we think about that as just being like spooky, but it is, this isn't that far. I mean, this would have crossed over with like Jack the Ripper and some of these other very spooky times and periods. And, you know, obviously a couple of world wars, if I can say that correctly, that also adds a darkness, you know, into history. And so it's interesting that, and I guarantee you, as those happened, and then every time that, you know, we're kind of in one of those eras now where it's like, okay, when's the world going to end? That we had the FEMA thing on our phones, and I swear people were like, oh, it's the end of the world. They're doing this, you know, they're trying, and who knows, maybe it is.
Did you hear the
off-the-wall
conspiracy?
That it was going to turn us into zombies?
Yes.
It did, actually, just so you know, it did turn me into a zombie.
It is supposed to activate the chip that they put in the vaccine.
Oh, and turn us into zombies.
You into a mindless zombie.
And how do you know it didn't?
Well, I don't have the vaccine, so. but here's the sad thing. I'm not bragging. I'm a zombie without
that. I was going to say, I needed that.
Yeah, at least I could have a reason. Are you okay over there? What happened?
I think so. My water tried to attack
me.
I got waterlogged over here.
I got that thing. I didn't even read it. Yeah, I didn't even want it.
I heard that. But anyway,
it off my phone.
But like I say, I'm saying, though, those are the things that also draws us closer into questioning our realities and our science and our spiritualism and all those kind of things, what we believe, our faith. You know, when times get dark, that's what happens. So you can look at a bazillion during that time period of when the Ghost Club and the fact that it's still, you know, around, it has gone in and out of, you know, time periods that, like I said, press us into asking a lot of questions. What's that?
I'm listening. I just wanted to. He's young. James Talkie. He's a young dude.
Oh, the Talkie guy. Shit Talkie.
Wow. He's not like the mushroom. 40s. I mean, and he could be in his 50s, but he's not like some 75-year-old guy.
Everybody at work, they're like, I'm turning my phone off. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And I'm supposed to turn us all to zombies, blah, blah. And I was just sitting there at my desk and I go, Y2K.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, right. Have that work out for
these
us.
People. I mean, honest to goodness. Before we, I don't know where we're at on time, do you guys have anything you want to add? Because I want to end on
I
want to
subtract, actually.
Well.
I still haven't found.
Subtract or retract.
Vagina.
Yeah, right. Yeah, could you?
Can I find
it? Can you get a.
I swear to God, it's not out there.
If you look that up, it'll tell you how to actually say it. Do you have anything, Nate? Anything
no,
else
nope,
you want to?
Nope. I think we hit. A lot of the main points.
I'm good.
So I'm going to read these couple things and we'll end it. Harry Price, a ghost hunting kit. This is an old, it says, which is amongst other things contained both reflex and cinematograph. Wait a minute. How in the heck do I say that? Cinematograph cameras, tools for sealing doors and windows, apparatus for secret electrical controls, steel tape, drawing instruments, a torch, bottle of mercury, and powdered graphite for developing fingerprints. Oh, that was Harry Price's ghost hunting kit. That's a heck of a mercury.
Mercury, yeah. And that's that makes you think of, you remember Mad as a Hatter?
Mm-hmm.
But you know where that comes from?
Yeah.
Or Hat Doesn't Matter. The mercury that was used, the
molds or something like that.
Right. That they said that's what that caused a lot of the people that were the hatters to go.
Mercury poisoning from wearing the hat.
Exactly. Oh. And so that was Mad as a Hatter came from that. That just made me think of that, the whole mercury thing.
The first thing that jumped out at me is window locking apparatuses. Isn't that just like hammer and nails?
Hey, Nate, don't be knocking Harry Price's. There's a picture of it.
Oh, sweet.
Maybe I have to.
Probably have that out on my workbench.
Oh, yeah.
I have to maybe post that on.
That's cool, yeah.
That is an old, yeah. I said steel tape. Steel tape. Okay.
Tape measure.
Tape measure. You know what, Nate? Stop knocking. Now? Come on now. all right, here we go. And then we're running on this. The last. You know, I love my stats. This isn't too old. According to a 2014 YouGov poll for The Sun, 34% of people in Great Britain say they believe that ghosts exist and experiences of the paranormal are strongly embedded in British culture. In his essay on the eeriness of the English countryside, Robert McFarlane argues that such beliefs are symptomatic of collective underlying anxieties.
It's very possible.
Yeah. So, there you go. And that's the Ghost Club of London.
Was that a microphone drop?
A phone, yeah. Kind of.
Phone drop.
Yeah. Phone drop. Bam. I enjoyed that. It was fun talking about the start of it, the older guys, and then the current.
Never knew.
Still going. I think it's awesome that they're still
such
going.
Such a club.
Yeah, it is. The Ghost Club. So we'll kind of look into it a little bit more, see if we can't, apply,
Mm-hmm. We really need to.
I know.
Let's just force our way in.
We need to go meet him and slide a piece of paper over to him.
Yeah.
These are my credentials.
That's right.
My ghost credentials.
I am an award-winning sound engineer / tech engineer. Sean and I, we're hosts.
We're big deals.
Let me tell you, we did our first live show in Danville, Indiana.
So welcome to the club, right?
Yeah. They'll say, what are you
Here's
doing
here?
Here's
the door, right? Yeah. See yourself out.
Can you go get us drinks? they think we're the servers. Yeah. Or something. Yeah. Can you give me another cigar? Sure. All right. Whatever it takes, Yeah. That was fun. I like that. I hope the creepies enjoyed that. Now, I'm going to guess, coming off of this fun topic, I'm going to say a dark side.
Your wrong side.
Oh!
But I did this. See, you just never know which way my brain's going to go. I was trying to think about what we needed tonight. And I'm doing this in honor of you, actually, Todd. I felt like we all need a little something. This is a pick-me-up for all of us, but this is one of your favorite songs.
Hold on. One of my
you've expressed this a time or two to us, and I think actually on social media, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, it's Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
You got it.
Yeah.
So I'm going Crosby, Stills, and Nash, just because it's needed, right?
Yeah.
Almost cut my hair.
What's that?
I can't remember the title of that one.
What are you talking about?
Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yeah.
Almost one of their songs. I almost cut my hair.
I was trying to think. I was like, are you talking about the live show? You're going to cut your hair for the live show?
This is Southern Cross, but I don't know the other.
That was going to be next week's.
Oh, okay.
I'm kidding. No.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to look into that one. I have to look.
Yeah, yeah, that vagina. Yes, I love Southern Cross. I have it in my iTunes. It's one of my favorite songs. I've loved it since I was a kid, actually.
So this is MTV. The background of it is a still song about open ocean sailing in the South Pacific, reflecting on the life during quiet stretches. So it is. It's a fantastic song.
Well, and he was in David Stills. He was going through a divorce and going through a lot of problems. So it's kind of like a.
It is very therapeutic for him.
Yes.
So it goes, got out of town on a boat going to Southern Islands, sailing a reach before a following sea.
You want me to sing it?
Please do.
I can sing it just like you.
She was making for the trades on the outside and the downhill run to Papakenti. I knew I was going to mess that up. Off the wind on this. You never listened to like those specifics. I just listened to the song. It's playing in my head, though. And the downhill run. Okay. So off the wind on this heading lie, the Marquesas.
Marquesas.
See, I no. I
let
like
me read it.
I'm going to butcher this. I'm just going to butcher.
Don't
the
butcher my song. All right.
We got 80 feet of the water line, nicely making way. In a noisy bar in Avalon. I won't mess that up. I tried to call you, but on a midnight watch, I realized why twice you ran away. I think about how many times I've fallen. Spirits are using me. Large voices calling. What heaven brought you and me cannot be forgotten. I have been around the world. Right. I have been around the world looking for the woman girl. Okay. Yeah. You can't not sing it, right? I know. I feel the same way.
I'm interrupting.
And I know she knows and knows love can endure.
That's true.
And you know it will. When you see the Southern Cross for the first time, you understand now why you came this way. Because the truth you might be running from is so small, but it's as big as the promise of a coming day. So I'm sailing for tomorrow. My dreams are a dying, and my love is an anchor tied to you. Tied with a silver chain, I have my ship, and all her flags are flying. She is all that I have left, and music is her name. Mm-hmm. I think about how many times I have fallen. Spirits are using me. Larger voices calling. Whatever brought you would be cannot be forgotten. I have been around the world. I have been around the world looking for that woman girl. You know love can endure. You know it will. And you know it will. So we have cheated. We lied. We tested. And we've never failed to fail. It was the easiest thing to do. You will survive being bested. Somebody fine. Will come along, make you forget about loving you in the Southern Cross.
In the Southern Cross.
Great song. I thought it was time for that, too.
I've been.
Hey. We're going to do that one next.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was good.
I thought that was great, actually. I thought it was a good night for that. Mm-hmm. It is a good song. Mm. A lot better than I can retell it.
No, that is a. Yeah. He's talking about just sailing the seas, trying to. Figure out what life's about, kind of get away from the life-changing experience of divorce and struggles. And, yeah. Which we all need to do, right?
Oh, yes, we do.
We have struggles every day.
That's the original sigh of the evening, right?
That might be the type of club we start.
Exactly right.
Struggles.
Life struggles or playing field.
Struggle bus.
I think everybody would join that, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, that's good. All right, man, you...
You like that? I brought it.
You brought it. I just wanted to sing it. Thank you for that, Sean. What else you got?
I have the second part of the announcements. You can follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. You can email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two ways. We are on all podcast listening apps. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and give us a 5-star rating and leave a review if the app allows. Tell someone you know or don't know about the podcast. We sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some. We offer many types of show sponsorship opportunities for individuals and businesses. It's another way for you to support us, get your name mentioned, and or business promoted. The sponsorship money goes right back into the show for merch giveaways, future on locations, live shows, etc. Please email us, reach out to one of us, message us on Instagram for more information. I don't know why, but in that, when we're talking
about... You
nailed
that, by the way.
Do you like that?
Well, you did a good job.
All I could think was, and I wanted to say it out loud, but I didn't, was Hot Mess Express. Have you ever heard that term?
No. Well, no. I've heard of Hot Mess, but not...
Hot Mess Express is... every once in a while, we'll be talking about... not anybody out there that's listening, by the way, either a person or an individual, yeah, patient, family, whatever, and we'll say, yeah, they're a hot mess express.
Well, I mean, I see like a lot of women, they'll say, oh, I'm a hot mess, or, you know, but well, I've never heard the hot mess
here,
express.
Here comes hot mess express.
Hot mess express.
And, but I'm guilty of that too.
Sometimes. We are all a hot mess.
That's right.
That's, anyway, thank you for that.
You're
did
most
a good
welcome.
Job on that, by the way.
Thank you.
Nate, I'm going to turn it over to you. What do you got for us?
I really want to be part of a club, but for now, that's a wrap.
Maybe someday. We can always
secret
try, right?
Society.
They'll get our applications and I go, these guys, this Sean, Nate, and Todd, they've applied 87 times.
It's like when
they never give up. Maybe we should just let them join.
When you when you cough and you rip the paper at the same time, like, we'll call you.
Yeah.
Are they ripping our application while they're saying no?
Yeah. They'll say, one in a million chance. And we'll say, so you're saying we have a chance.
Yeah, right, still exactly. have a chance.
So yes. You're saying there's a chance.
Well, thank you, Nate, for that. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 135 and our discussion on the Ghost Club of London. And until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.